Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Chauncey Show, where we're always right and never left. We put God first in politics. Second, I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Welcome to the Chauncey Show. We have an exciting show for you lined up today. We have an American first candidate, patriot, veteran, and the only person in the country that has been unendorsed by the Republican Party because he's so conservative. Let me welcome my dear friend to the show, Mike Cargile. How are you, sir?
Thank you for having me on.
Mike, I apologize. I didn't have your mic on right away. For my followers, can you please repeat your last comment? I apologize.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. I thank you for having me on. If I could say in a word, I am blessed. That really is the life I lead.
Amen. You know, before we start the show, we are blessed. And, you know, we have a lot of work to do as children of God. And that's what this is about. You know, right now in our country, we're going through a spiritual warfare between good and evil. And you are one of the good soldiers, and I'm glad to have you on my show. Please talk about a little bit about who you are. Who is Mike Cargile, your humble beginnings, and how you got involved in politics. And then we can get into other your state issues and national issues later on in the show.
Well, I thank you for that. I'm a Christian filmmaker, actually.
Really?
No political.
Wow. That was the monkey wrench in my show. Okay.
So I wanted to help someone, whoever would run against my opponent. My opponent is Norma Torres, and she's literally a baby-killing Guatemalan communist. And that's not being salacious or anything. That is an encapsulation of who she, what she represents on Capitol Hill. She didn't at me in any way, shape, or form, and I wanted to bring my skill set behind somebody who would run against her, and nobody would. She was running unopposed, and I told my wife, look, I have this burning in my chest. I cannot let this go. And she said, then we will get together and I will back you 100% and you go beat her, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a 24/7 effort. So that's what I've been doing. I've been learning the ropes as a politician and meeting people. And it has been such a wonderful experience meeting people in my district I would have never met otherwise. And I'll tell you a little bit about a company I just discovered that I think could truly end the pandemic here in Ontario, California, would end the pandemic globally, but we'll hold on to that one. But my district is, I believe it's primarily conservative, although you wouldn't know it from the voter rolls, because California never purges its rolls. It's criminal, and they're allowed to get away with it. So what looks like a predominantly Democratic district is really not, and I can prove it to all the listeners. At one end of my district, I have one of the greatest drag strips in the country, the Fairplex at Pomona. They open and close the NHRA season with it. At the other end of my district, I have a NASCAR track, the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana. Now, what kind of people like drag racing and NASCAR? And in between those two, I have four churches that are 10,000 plus members each. What kind of people like drag racing, NASCAR, and they go to church? And you're telling me they voted for a Guatemalan communist? Not for a minute do I believe that.
That sounds like, Mike, that sounds like a group of deplorables, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
I mean, well, at least that's what Hillary Clinton
kind.
Calls us. Yeah, that's what Hillary Clinton calls us, is deplorables, God-fearing. I mean, you know, you can't get any worse than the left with their identity politics. But you're right.
Sure.
You know, you look at your district, and that district is conservative. That's a mega district. And you're right. I don't know how California, period. California is like another country because they exist outside of the realm of democracy. I mean, I can't, you guys in California have an uphill battle, and I'm so proud that you guys are standing up, because California, the corruption, it's a mess. The progressive policies, the homelessness, veterans, fentanyl, we can go on and on with California, you know, but
sure.
The key is, but Mike, real quick, but the key is, and you talked about this, not only you're a Christian filmmaker, you're a servant and a man of God. That is the most important criteria in this election.
Amen.
I just wanted to footnote that before you continue, because that is what we're lacking. The fear of God, religious integrity, okay, and moral integrity follows that as well. When are we going to start being our brother's keeper and our sister's keeper?
Our brother's keeper. Yes. You are 1,000% correct there, and I say this all over the place. We need Christians to run for office, and here's why. Because, you know, people go, well, I'm not a Christian, I'm a homosexual, and I go, really, I don't care. I
exactly.
Really don't. You know, I'm here to make sure you have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and what you do with that opportunity is up to you, right? But this country was founded, our founding documents were all based on Judeo-Christian principles. And only a Christian understands what that actually means, that I sit under a biblical standard for morality, for the law, for how I conduct myself and how I treat my fellow Americans. We're all endowed with these rights by our Creator, right?
We don't Amen.
Acknowledge that we have a Creator. Then you also do not acknowledge that we're created equal and that we have these intrinsic rights.
Amen. 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 And that's what these career politicians are forgetting. They forgot who God was. They have no fear of God and the law. That's why we have the chaos that we do in government. This is why we have corruption. And that's why we have great candidates like you wanting to stand up to fight against this immorality in our government.
Listen, Chauncey, I do believe the United States right now is being run by a cabal of satanic worshipers.
I agree.
I don't say that with any sort of brevity. This is who they are. They are very vocal, and they, if you look for it, they're also very visual, which is interesting, because Satan is called the father of lies. And this is the evidence of what I just said, because I can look back on their lives at any point in time and see the prevalence of lies. The air is so thick with lies right now, and it's all coming right out of our leadership.
You know, I'm glad that this conversation went to a religious, or I should say, a spiritual format, because this is what we're missing in our country. We're missing God. They removed it from the schools. They're trying to remove it from everywhere out of our life. And when you remove God out of the equation, you have no respect for your fellow man. And that's what we're looking at right now. And I agree with you 100%. This government is controlled by a globalist cabal that worships Satan. I agree with you 100%. Okay. And we can see it visually. Those who are in faith, real faith, can see the devil's work. Those that claim to be believers but are blind, that are sheep, I keep them in my prayers, that your eyes will be open to the truth. Because if not, you know, I believe that we suffer now before we go to the big house, you know, with our Father. But that is what we're missing in this country. We need to bring back moral integrity.
Amen.
Okay.
And I have a special place in my heart and a burden for black pastors. And I'll tell you why. Because I saw... I was praying about this and thinking about this a lot. why has the black community undergone such incredible attacks on the family unit with drugs, with the music, with, you know, the immorality, everything? And then I saw the nation Israel. Out of slavery, God created a nation for himself, but it was out of the hardship of slavery that he fashioned this people for himself. And I thought, that is so interesting, because I do believe now, out of slavery, the black community was dependent on God in a way like anybody else. And they were being primed to be the spiritual leadership of this country because of their faith and their complete dependence on God. And if you look at some of the hymns and the sermons that were coming across out of the 30s and 40s, it's very clear that that's where this was headed. And that's why they've undergone such assault, such satanic assault, because they were set to be the spiritual leadership of this country. And in there lies, I think, one of the solutions, that if the black pastors will stand up and demand with moral clarity, a standard back to righteousness, that really would turn this whole country around.
Mike, you bring up a salient point, and my followers already know. I don't know if you know, but I'm Jewish. I'm not Christian. But that being said, my argument with the black churches, where are they on black crime? Where are they on all of these issues, the immorality issues? That's really the question I have for the black church. Is you've been hiding within the democratic framework, but you have not been standing up for the moral rights of people. And I'm concerned about that, especially, like you said, the black church is the most conservative of all the churches in this country, and black people in general are conservative. And I don't understand, where is all this Christian leadership from the black church standing up against Black Lives Matter, standing up against all of these things? I'm baffled. I'm baffled. I'm 60 years old. I grew up with Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, the Civil Rights Movement, and these pastors of the black church are non-existent. And I don't understand why. Now, there's one idea that I have, is once they started accepting government money and they started playing politics, they don't want to get involved overtly because it's going to affect their 401c3 money that they're getting from that municipality, state, or federal government. Isn't that very interesting?
That's a key component. Yeah, exactly. That's a key component. In keeping with what you just said, you're Jewish. I do believe that the number one enemy of Israel is the liberal American Jew.
Without question. And that, when we go into that aspect, we're talking about the mainstream media. You know, the corruption is very right. The corruption for those that really, and I don't want to undermine anyone's faith, but for those who their eyes are open, let me put it in that respect, can see, like you had talked about, Satan, the cabal, the satanic stuff, it's right in front of us. If you're really a believer in the Most High, no matter what faith you serve, you can see the lies that are being told. And
right.
It's just
God
it's just
is a God of truth.
Amen. 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 And like I said, I wonder where these black Christian pastors are. Where are you on black crime? Highest in the nation. But you'll see them run to a crowd when a white police officer off duty defends himself with his family, shoots a black person. It's automatically racist.
Right. Well, this is
but where are those same people when blacks are killing blacks? The hypocrisy is beyond the pale.
Yes. And you got to bring it back to the family. So where are the fathers? Where are the marriages? You know, let's get back to the biblical definition. See, this is why I was unendorsed by the Republican Party. because I take a very hardline stance on the biblical definition of marriage and the support of the nuclear family. And I take a hard stance against this LGBTQ stuff with the indoctrination of the children as well as the critical race theory. It's abhorrent that we would teach children to be racist. I come from a military background. I was raised there. My biological father was killed in Vietnam, but my grandfather was an Army officer, and I grew up without seeing race. You know, that it just didn't exist. You had a rank or a caste structure, but it was not based on the color of your skin in any way, shape, or form. I knew it existed, but we didn't experience it. So it was kind of an interesting experience for me when I got out of the military. I was a quartermaster officer, and then I had all of my personal stuff shipped to Inglewood, California, where I was the only white guy for about a mile.
And, what are you doing in Inglewood, Mike? With your brothers?
Exactly. And they were looking at me like, "Are you lost?" it was great though, because I'm looking at them and I didn't see them any differently than anybody else. I'm like, I don't understand the instant animosity here. You're an American. I'm an American. I'll fight and die for you to have this freedom. What? I don't understand this. So it was a kind of a rude awakening, but it was good at the same time, because then I made a short film a few years later called The Light of Darkness, which deals sort of intrinsically with that. And I had it down there at Magic Johnson Theaters. And literally, I'd never been in a mall where I was the only white guy in the whole mall. And I loved it, you know, because this is my country. It is all different kinds of colors, shapes, and sizes, but we're all Americans. And right now, we're under assault by communists who are using anything and everything to fracture that unity.
Amen. They are. And, you know, on the heels of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, it is sad that the left, the spread of left, and because not the same Democrats from 30 years ago, these radical Marxist communist Democrats will be all on the news over the weekend celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. You will get up and stand up during Black History Month or during Martin Luther King's birthday, but then you will do just the opposite the day after. Shame on you, and may God have mercy on all of your souls, because judgment you will have and you will receive. I am a witness. My followers know.
Right.
You know, I've been homeless. I've been in and out of rehab. You know, everything. Judgment is now. And I thank God that he kept his hands and grace and mercy on my soul that led me out of where I was at. But only your faith and only your works can do that. And that's where we're at politically in this country. God knows what's going on. People say, how did Donald Trump get elected? God got him elected. Okay? Now, we look at Joe Biden. Joe Biden, first of all, they stole that election. I don't care what anyone says. I've been in politics since I was 16 years old. I know the corruption that transpires in inner cities with ballots, with machines, okay? And I know that every major city, we looked at Philadelphia, we could look at all these major cities where they had problems, ballot harvesting. We can go on and on. I mean, but for somebody to say this election was legal, they're either insane, they're inept, or they're getting paid off. One of the three.
Right.
Because there's no way that a person could sit in their basement for 6 months and be the highest vote getter in the history of our country. And he ran three elections prior to it, came in last place. Go ahead, Mike.
No. I was just, you're right in the home plate with me on a key issue, which is election integrity. I don't know if you know this, but I am a co-plaintiff on the most important lawsuit in the nation right now. And this circles back to California, because think about it. Where is the Speaker of the House from? California. Where's the minority leader from? California.
California.
Who's the tiebreak in the Senate? California.
California.
Where are all these grotesque ideas coming from? California.
California.
So here's, you were talking about how bad California is. This is all by design, and it's being orchestrated by both parties. People have to understand this is, California is being run by a uniparty that has two sides to it, but they negotiate everything. So every single person who holds an elected office in California was negotiated. That includes Kevin McCarthy, Devin Nunes, Daryl Issa, all of them. All of their seats were negotiated here with Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic Party. So the lawsuit I am engaged in is asking the court to overturn the laws of California using the United States Constitution. They've never been challenged constitutionally before. So we're saying that the laws that enable voter fraud to exist are unconstitutional. And we're about to enter discovery. And there is a media blackout on this because, you know, if you were following the audits in Arizona, we're going to do 13 counties in California simultaneously. So it's Maricopa times 13. This is terrifying to them. Right now we are at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and we will either enter discovery or we will go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has already adjudicated a large chunk of our lawsuit because of another case that was in Arizona where the Arizona made ballot harvesting illegal, and it was challenged. They went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court agreed with the state of Arizona. Yeah, that's a bad thing. What people don't know is my co-plaintiff, the Election Integrity Project California, supplied the data from California to the Supreme Court in that case. So now if we go out of the Ninth Circuit to the Supreme Court, we already know how they view ballot harvesting. And here's the thing. We're very, very optimistic about this because the one thing judges hate is being called a racist. So they'll never touch a case that deals with overturning an election. But they do like laws. So if you can stay in that wheelhouse, we're not asking you to overturn an election. We're just asking you to look at the laws of California in light of the U.S. Constitution. And for instance, in our Constitution, we have Article 4, Section 4, which says the federal government must protect us from foreign invasion, right? So yes. If you have laws that enable massive amounts of mail-in ballots without any sort of a process to check the validity of those ballots, how do you know China didn't send 30 million ballots into California? Because you have no safeguards. So the laws that enable this are blatantly unconstitutional. But the Supreme Court just can't pick something out of the air. They have to have a case in front of them. And ours is that case. We're the only election integrity case in the state of California, if you can believe that or not. And we are being attacked by the worst is the Republican Party.
For those that are tuning in, you're listening to The Chauncey Show. We're proud, honored, and blessed to have in the studio a veteran, businessman, Christian filmmaker, Mike Cargile, running for U.S. Congress in California's 35th district, unless they change the district on you with redistricting.
We're still 35th.
Oh, we're proud to have you on the show. Mike, you know, you have an unbelievable amount of challenges in California, as you've cited some of them. And, you know, not along with yourself, you know, we have a lot of other great candidates. James Bradley's running for U.S. Senate. Collins down in the south, in Watts. We have a lot of great candidates coming out of California, and I hope that we have a breakthrough in California. There's no doubt that we're going to win back the House. I hope that a lot of our seats come out of California so you guys can change the direction in which you're heading. Because, you know, as a kid, you know, I used to go to California in Watts as a kid, spend my summers there, and to see what it looks like now. I mean, it's,
you know, it's just sad. Even San Francisco, I was there 15 years ago, and what it looks like now is just, it's mind-boggling. I don't understand how any administration can allow tent encampments, fetal matter, needles all over. I just doesn't comprehend in my brain that how do you allow a community just to unfold like that with no consequences? It just baffles my mind. Like, it's okay for you to put up a tent anywhere on public property and say, I live here.
Sure.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you're suddenly a homesteader because you're homeless. That makes all the sense in the world. None of this makes sense unless you view it as a communist takeover of the United States, which is truly what it is. I know Mark Levin and these guys, they want to go, it's a Marxist thing, it's a socialist thing. No, this is first of all, communism is satanic at its core because it wants to remove all dependence on something other than the state. So they want religion out. They want God out. You want to get everything you rely upon comes from the state. And it's not such a bad gig if you're on the Central Committee. But for the rest of us, it's slavery. So what we have now are a group of people who are okay with slavery as long as they get to play the role of the master this time. It's not about skin color. It's about enslavement. It's about power over your fellow human. And that's what we're truly dealing with. So they don't mind destroying everything that's been built, all the traditions, all the infrastructure, because they want to create a civilization of people entirely dependent on the state. And that's the end goal here. And then ultimately they'll wrap that into a one world government where we're all dependent on that government for our very existence.
Mike, you hit the nail on the head. And when you talk about communism, I just want to add a footnote to your comment. The first infiltration of communism is the educational system of our children. School can't even read and write. Proficiency is at 60% on a national level. Children that come from outside of the United States, from other countries, and come here far exceed our children here. Our children cannot compete globally, and they want to teach kids that a white person from 400 years ago who was enslaved, you should blame this person today because they're white for the slavery in the past, which makes absolutely no sense to me. I mean, why aren't we teaching our kids? You remove home economics from the school. You remove woodshop from the school. What about life skills? What about teaching kids how to survive? What about teaching kids critical thinking skills? You want to teach them a theory on humans? Critical race theory. Really? What does it have a basis in? Absolutely nothing. It will not help anyone in life become successful. I can't eat with CRT. Can anybody eat with CRT?
It'll destroy them. Yeah, if you tell someone that right out of the chute you are at a disadvantage because of your skin color, you've harmed them for the rest of their life because they'll see themselves as a victim.
You know, I have a quote.
That's evil.
I have a quote. I'm not a victim. I'm a conservative.
Amen.
You know,
amen. And then,
my dad, and excuse me for a second, I was raised I was raised by a veteran. And I always tell my friends that went into the service, and I'm going to tell you, I would rather have gone into the service than be raised by a conservative, patriotic veteran. Because the discipline was unbelievable. Am I thankful today? Absolutely. Absolutely. But growing up in that environment, and my father grew up, was born in 1928. He knew what racism was. He talked about it in the Navy, where he was the only black guy on the destroyer. But there's one thing my father always taught me. There's good and bad people, black and white. Treat people with respect.
treat people how they treat you. My father never, ever had 1 ounce of animus towards anyone. And he, in his position, what he did, could have more than likely been to turn into, I don't like white people, this and that. My father never told me that. And I'm so glad that he did, because my father said, Chauncey, you could become anything you want to become. Your color is not a barrier, only your thought and your brain. And that's powerful.
Amen. Because, yeah, I got something similar. My dad was a career Army officer, but he was from the deepest part of the redneck South you could ever come from, down in Valdosta, Georgia. It was the center of racism, and he was raised in that environment, and that had been his entire upbringing. Well, years later, fast forward 2 tours in Vietnam, 2 Purple Hearts, he gets saved. God saves him by a man named Ben Kinchlow. I don't know if you know that name, but he was the big black co-host of the 700 Club, and we knew him before he became that. And this black man told my dad the truth, and my dad got saved by God. And so my whole life was lived like that. There's no color in this. This is the truth. In front of God, we're all the same. We're sinners and worthy of death. That's the truth. There's no place in the Bible where they talk about skin color.
That's
because
right.
To God, it doesn't
teach.
Matter.
It teach. Teach, Mike. Teach. Go ahead, Mike. There you go. Go ahead,
no,
Mike.
But that's the reality. In front of God, and see, our founders recognize that, right? That we are all created equal by our Creator, meaning that we're not all equal. Some are born rich, some are born poor, some are born this. But in front of God, you're all the same. I'm the Creator, and you are my creation. And if you don't acknowledge that, then you don't acknowledge the right that we were endowed with by our Creator.
We are all each other's brothers and sisters.
Yep.
But Satan divides us. So Satan can maintain control. We know that.
Yes.
That's why we fear God. We fear God, and we're not going to do anything to disobey our Father. We know
the
that.
Beginning of wisdom. Yep.
You know, and like I always talk about my story. I disobeyed God. I was a fire captain, elected official. I can talk about my success, but I don't like talking about my success because that didn't build a character in me. Me going to federal prison, me being homeless, me going in and out of rehab, that built my moral character, and God saved my life. But I had my judgment here. Now, I went through that stuff because I chose the devil over God. And that's why I tell people, you're going to be judged now. I was judged now. We all have a chance for redemption before we die. And I pray that everyone, because the people that I went through my journey with, they're not here no longer. You know, people, do not take this life that God has given us for granted. Everyone has a purpose, and our first purpose is to recognize that we're here by the grace and mercy of our Father. And I ask everyone, please repent and seek him, no matter what faith you are. Seek him first, and all these things will come unto you. Mike, you know, I'm so thankful to have you on this show today, and we're not done. I'm just making a footnote, because the biggest challenge that we have in the world today is the spiritual warfare.
Sure.
The principalities
against the
principalities against the spirit of this dark world. You know it exists. Mm-hmm. I know it exists. And these people, and I say it humbly, people that are these Christian or all these leaders that claim to be of faith, it's time for all of you to step up. Because if not, the judgment on you is going to be harder.
I agree.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think we're right in the middle. For the listeners who know their Bible, we're in Romans 1 right now. Romans 1 is the judgment. And that judgment is God removes his hand and says, okay, I'm going to let you be who you naturally are. Because we are innately sinful creatures whose capacity for evil is unchecked. We will destroy one another. If completely left unchecked, we will do everything we can because we operate out of pure selfishness. And so the judgment in Romans 1 is people reject God, and he says, okay, I'm going to let you be who you are. And it says he gives them over. He gives them over. And what he's doing is saying, eventually, I'm going to let you be who you really are. And we enter a thing called a reprobate mind, where the mind has been tuned to the degree by evil that it is incapable of common sense. That
tell my
right
story.
Is wrong.
Tell my story. Tell my story, Mike. Well, tell my story. Amen.
So right is wrong. Wrong is right. Up is down. Down is up. Look at the United States right now. None of this makes sense because we rejected the truth of God. And he said, okay, I'm going to let you be who you are. Now, I do believe there is still mercy on this country because there is a large group like yourself and many, many others who are seeking the face of God and begging for mercy. But he has to deal still with a nation that has rejected him. And if you look at Isaiah 5, he sort of chronicles, it's the only true story of the fall of a nation, because everything else is written by the victor. Every time you conquer, you write the history. But God wrote Israel's history. And the last step before a nation is destroyed is a corrupt judiciary, where the average person cannot get a fair shake under the law. And when that happens, the entire society is lawless, or anarchy ensues. And God is a God of order, and lawlessness is sin, and he must correct it himself, because the leaders now have this reprobate mindset.
Amen.
So there you go.
Amen. You know, Mike, this show and with you today is extremely important, because we're talking about the spirit of man, and that's the most important thing. We are trying to save the spirit of our fellow brothers and sisters. That's why I do this podcast. That's why you're running for office. This is bigger than us. We understand what God wants us to do, and that's serve him and serve all of his inhabitants by raising their level of consciousness, sharing the truth to them, and helping and hoping and praying that their eyes will be open to the truth.
Amen.
I'm on that,
yep,
that mission with you. I thank our Father, my Father, your Father, for saving my life. Only God can do the things that he has done in me, because I didn't have the strength or the will until I submitted myself and turned my will over to him, did my life begin to change. And every morning when I wake up, I ask God not only to thank him for the many blessings, but I ask him every day to keep my will. Because as we talk about today, we're talking about the issues of man's will and how he imposes his will upon the universe and upon people and upon a society. And these individual leaders forget that you're not there to be served. You're there to serve. And that's why it's important that we have this show, we have this message, we have candidates like you to share the truth about really what's going on. And we all need to be saved. If we're going to save a nation, we have to save its people, Mike. And I can't thank you enough for all the work you're doing and the courage for you to stand up to run for Congress. People don't understand what it takes when you're a man of faith to step up, to go the den of the devil. It takes a lot of courage.
Well, from your perspective, yes. From my perspective, I look at this as just an amazing adventure. I really do. I'm so blessed. And if, you know, if we're talking about what we deserve, I deserve death. And yet he chose to give me life.
Amen.
So I, you know what, between me and you and the people listening, I look at this race and I, cause I'm a filmmaker. So I look at it and I'm amused by it all. And I think, okay, if I was writing a script and I had a guy running for Congress, what would I have him do next? And that's how I go day to day.
That's a blessing, Mike. That's a blessing because you've been called by God to do this. And you're enjoying not only serving him, but enjoying sharing with people. Like I hear in your laughter. You were called to do this. And that's a difference
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead. This is your show, Mike.
No.
This is your show.
I'm a terrible guest because I keep over talking.
No. I'm a terrible host.
No. Well, what you just said is, you know what? Let me just tell you ways I'm blessed. All right. I have in this district, I'm meeting businesses. I'm meeting people. I'm talking all this stuff. And then I meet a company. And make note of this. It's called Clear World USA. And they make signs. But the owner of this company has a real heart for trying to fix this craziness we're dealing with the virus. And he's a Christian. He's very creative, very innovative. And he creates this device they call the Clear Cloud. And what it does is it takes a salt water solution, literally just salt water, but salt, the sodium, has an immediate impact on living organisms. And the EPA, so they put the salt water solution, it's called HOCl. They put it in this machine, and they have a fan, and it breaks the liquid apart to these tiny, tiny particles, smaller than the virus itself. So when one of these particles touches the COVID virus, it kills it in under 60 seconds. The EPA verified this. So this little company in Ontario, California, I believe has the device that will end the pandemic. How blessed am I to be here right now and discover this company? Because if we put these in all the schools and all of the hospitals and you put this little mist in the air, there's no reason to wear a mask. There's no reason to social distance. The air and every surface in the room has been sanitized in a few minutes. And that's it.
You know,
non-toxic, completely organic. Your blood cells make this chemical, HOCl, in your white blood cells. It's amazing.
It is.
It's
now,
amazing.
Let's see how the devil responds to it.
Yeah.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing. But based on what we know and what's going on, I hope and pray that it comes out, but I got a funny feeling the devil's going to play its games to manipulate, and you know what I mean? But it's a blessing to what you said, and I hope that it gets in every school because the media, this propaganda with COVID, everything, it's beyond the pale.
Well, and that's what I'm doing. I'm talking. I'm letting people know. So that if someone were to demand this in their schools, then they have no reason not to put it in because it's for the safety of the children. So if they don't, then it's not about the kids, and we're blowing the smoke off. This is not about a virus. It's not about the kids. This is about control. So let's deal with that now.
Exactly.
Let's deal in truth.
Amen. Amen.
So, yeah, I'm having a blast. I really am.
Mike, I can't thank you enough. I definitely would like to have you back on again. Before we close, this is a powerful statement that you said. And I want to say this to my followers, because when you want to consider a candidate for office, to my followers, to everybody listening, I'm going to share a quote from Mike.
And this is one of the most powerful quotes that I've heard from a candidate in, if not my lifetime, a long time. Mike Cargill, quote unquote, "I'm here to fulfill that oath. So help me God." I'm going to repeat that one more time. I am here to fulfill that oath. So help me God. To my followers, what Mike is talking about is not only the oath of the Constitution, he's talking about the oath and the law of God. And that is powerful, ladies and gentlemen that are listening. We need God-fearing candidates in office to battle this immoral, satanic corruption that is like a cancer in our government today. And Mike, this was an honor for me for you to be on my show. I had a great time today. I'm almost speechless. The show is awesome, but I think that we hit the most important. But we hit the most important parts. People that are listening today know who Mike Cargill is, and that's all I try to do. Is I want my followers to understand and know who Mike Cargill is. And you are a Christian, man of deep faith, filmmaker, small business veteran. And that's what we accomplished today, is that the people know today who Mike is. Not a politician, not five bullet point talking points, but who the man of faith really is, Mike. And thank you for giving me the opportunity for sharing your experience and coming on my podcast today to talk to my listeners and myself. God bless you and your family.
It's an honor. It's an absolute honor, and I'm so thankful you reached out. And I came up with the cheesiest catchphrase I could so people would remember me. So when they say, "How do I remember who you are?" I always go, "Smile, it's Cargill."
They laugh,
and they don't forget it. But that's who I am. Smile, it's Cargill. I'm here, and together we can fix all this, God willing.
Amen.
And get back to our roots.
With the strength in the faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains.
Amen.
But we can't do it without our Father. And these politicians, I've forgotten about. They forgot who the Master is. They forgot who our Father is. Tetragrammaton, Elohim, the Almighty, all omniscience, everything. And when you forget about who
God is. We could do
God
a whole show just on that. We could do one on that.
But like God says, at one point, every head will bow and every knee will bend. And I am a witness. I am a witness to God's wrath, his punishment. I look at it this way. God only chastises his son that he loves. And I'm blessed to be loved by our Father, because he broke me down to the bone marrow, Mike. And I will never, ever turn back. And I always think about the story of Lot and Sarah, when God says, "Don't turn back and flee the city." And she looks back and turns into a pillar of salt. I know what's behind me. I know what I left behind. And that's where it's going to stay. And I pray for everyone that they have a breakthrough, that they accept a higher power in their life that's greater than yourself. People, remember, you were created by a being greater than any man on earth. And we must give homage and respect to that all-knowing spiritual being, God, if we want to have a life not only now, but after we leave this earth. Mike, please share with my audience, if they want to donate to your campaign, volunteer, contact you, please share the information with my followers.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Cargill, www.cargillforcongress.com. That's Cargille, Cargill, F-O-R, Cargill for Congress. Or you could just put in my name, Mike Cargill, without any spaces, and it'll take you right there as well. So I thank you again for this opportunity. And we could have a lot of interesting conversations.
Yes, and I will have you back on again, Mike. Absolutely. I think, well, I'm booked up now. The podcast is booked out until the beginning of April. But I'm going to start doing live interviews, pre-recorded, and then we're going to post them out. So I definitely will have you on within another month or so, and we'll connect and set up a live interview. And then,
well, that'll be good.
Yeah, and then for our audience, though, we'll give them some. We'll put together some talking points, so you know, because we only have like 20 minutes or 30 minutes to hit those points that they want to hear about where you stand on particular issues. So we'll
sure.
deal with
sure.
at that time. But Mike, thank you so much. God bless you. I'm going to keep you and
God
your family
you
in
well.
Prayers. And thank you so much for an awesome show tonight. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. For those that are tuning in, you're listening to The Chauncey Show, where we're always right, never left. We put God first and politics second. We were honored, proud, and blessed to have in the studio veteran, small businessman, Christian filmmaker, man of deep faith, running for Congress in a desperate state that we need him so bad. Mike Cargile, if you can give him support, if you could donate to his campaign, please. We need all of our American First candidates to get into office. So whatever you can donate, whatever you can send, please help out my friend Mike. We need all hands on deck for this election if we're going to take back the White House in 2024. I want to thank all of my listeners for tuning in. I want to thank all of my past guests, my past supporters, and also those who have donated in the past. We rely on small donations from people like you and our supporters. So if you have an opportunity, you can donate to PayPal Me The Chauncey Show, PayPal Me The Chauncey Show. And that helps us to continue to be a voice for we the people in the nation. We don't want to rely on big donors because we don't want our voices to be silenced or altered. What you hear is what you get. Real people, real issues, real talk here on The Chauncey Show. And we thank you all for tuning in. Next Thursday, we're going to have Darlene Swiffer in the studio. She's running for Congress in Florida. So please join us on Tuesday for another exciting show. This woman, she's running again for Congress. She's an exciting patriot. We look forward to hearing you guys. Also, follow The Chauncey Show. It's only on Twitter that it's The Chauncey Show USA because we've been suspended before. Everywhere else, it's The Chauncey Show, Parler, Gab, Getter, Cloud Hub. You can follow us all over. We will follow you back, and we want to thank you all for your support. Have a good evening. Remember, keep the faith. God bless you all, and have a great weekend. Good night now.